I need a lady's opinion, 'cause I'm not a lady like a lady is.
Hey, Splainers, welcome to another week of the Women's Splaining Podcast. I'm Ray, and I am here with
Melissa
and Cheryl.
And we have another guest with us today. My friend and coworker Trent has joined us.
Hey, guys. Actually, I shouldn't say guys.
Hey, girls.
Hey, girls. Or no. Hey, Splainers.
Yeah, there you go.
Wow.
Splainers. So, yeah, Trent, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm really excited. Big fan.
Oh, I love it. Trent also has a podcast. It's called the Mask for Mask Podcast. Do you want to tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, so it's one of my best friends, Chris, and I. We have a podcast where we talk about queer issues ranging from history lessons to how-tos to really inappropriate topics. And it's mostly comedy focused. So it's just the two of us having a lot of fun in my basement.
Nice.
So.
I love it. I started listening, and you guys are hilarious, and I love your games. And we should clarify that games is spelled G-A-Y.
Yes.
I love it.
We try to emphasize all of the gay. Yeah.
I need to know the rules to these, because I would like to play.
We usually just kind of make them up.
Oh,
so.
Okay. Damn it.
No, that's the rule. Like, you just make it up.
But one of them that they did recently that I sort of participated in, because I was like, I want to insert myself in this. Was taking like Christmas songs,
yes,
and like changing
them
the titles
gay
to make them gay.
I love it.
Okay, Ray was so good at it. I was shocked.
She's very good at puns.
I was horrifying. It is, and I was like, just typing them out at lunch at work, and I was like, I need to send these to Trent.
Yeah, she was like, I'll just send over like if you want them. I was like, these are way better than mine. So gave credit, don't worry. But
yes, I was in my car driving to work listening, and I was just like screaming in my car because I was so excited. I'm like,
some people are so good at that, like replacing the words and songs with that. My dad's really good at that too. Not making them gay, but just gay.
Yeah. Just like puns.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it's nice when you do it on purpose rather than me, who just does, knows no lyrics to anything, and I substitute
I do
own.
The same. I've ruined many a song for Ian because I'm just like, I don't know lyrics to this, so I'm just going to like insert whatever I think I want to.
Yeah. There's so many Jewel songs that I did that to as a young child. Mm. And then looking back at them as an adult, I'm like, oh, that's not what she's saying.
That's not it.
Damn you, Jewel. You're so mumbly.
You know the Send Me On My Way song by Rusted Roots?
I don't know if I've heard that one.
Send me on my way.
Oh, yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought it said Simeon the Whale.
Oh,
like,
that's
thought it was about this little whale.
It's send me on my way?
Send me on my way. It's like,
I totally
send me on my way.
I thought it was just noises.
No, yeah.
Nothing to do with me.
Yeah, send me on my way.
Send me on my way.
Well,
oh, shit. You just blew my fucking mind.
Send me in the whale. Yes.
Send me in the whale. Either way, I thought it was just like,
TLC's Raise Your Hands Up At Me, right?
It's, yeah.
I always sang until college. Raise Your Hands Up, Batman.
Yes.
Yep. Thought it was you're a like, superhero call out.
You're like, yes, TLC.
Yeah. Batman, hey.
Oh, TLC.
There's a Florence and the Machine song that's like, the lyric is like, it's hard to dance with the devil on your back.
So. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I always sing, it's hard to dance with the devil on your dick. Because I don't know why. Just because it's like funny and it sounds kind of like she's saying dick.
Yeah.
And Ian's like, you've ruined that song forever. Forever and ever.
That's like, hilarious. Sorry.
That would be way better.
Now we know.
Yeah. Nice to agree with that. I wear goggles when you are not here. I don't know what the real words are because I have sung that much.
What?
Oh my god, I can't even.
What is
I
it?
Wear goggles when you are not here.
I can't even think
who
of
sings
the actual
that song.
Try to say goodbye and I choke.
Gotta walk away and I stumble.
Gotta hide it. It's clear. I wear goggles when you are not
stop
here.
Stop it! No, you're ruining
it. My world crumbles when you are not near. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
Close.
Yes.
So.
But
goggles.
I heard in college. This
I wear goggles.
Oh my god, that's
I think
amazing.
She pronunciates that quite well. I don't know how you got goggles.
No, it was somebody else who had misheard it, and I can't remember who it was. And I was like, well, that just makes sense.
You just ruined 150 people's Macy Gray song for the rest of our lives.
I've got a million of these.
That's what today's episode is about.
Well, we'll have to save the rest of them for another episode. So we have a lot of really great questions that we need to get to. I chose a few that had basically questions related to queer issues or about like the gay community. So the first one is, have any of you dated a man who ended up being gay after you broke up? How would that make you feel if it happened to you? And then I'm going to tack on to that. Like, I would just love to hear like your perspective on that, Trent.
So I can start out. So I didn't come out until I was 25. So,
oh, wow, that's really recent.
Mm-hmm, yeah, so 3 years ago. And prior to that, I was dating a woman. We had dated for about 4 months, and she's one of my best friends still. And so during that time, it was like, not really sure, not really 100% in my identity. There's a lot of stuff going on, obviously. And so her and I connected up at college, and we're really good friends up there. And after graduated and I was down in Salt Lake, she was up in Logan. We went on a date and connected really well, really good friends. And her and I started dating. And then towards the end of our relationship, everything else was great. Like, super motivated, ambitious, like super intelligent, really caring, thoughtful, everything you'd want in a partner. But I was kind of like, something's off. Like, I'm not quite sure.
Can't put my finger on it.
Yeah. Well, and I definitely knew I wasn't straight at that point. And she was like super open. She was like, do you want to like try like an open relationship? Right. Oh, cool. Do you want to like try a three-way? Like, you know, she's very open.
Accommodating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just didn't picture us like being long-term, and I'm a pretty monogamous person. So the fact that that wasn't coming up for me, I was kind of like, yeah, I'm definitely like more gay than I am straight. So I don't know. So we broke up. But the interesting thing is, a lot of people asked her after we broke up, they were like, oh, did you know? Like, are you okay? Yeah. Like, how are you doing? You know, right. Which are all reasonable questions. And she was like, you know, like, we were both what we needed for each other at the time. Like, I needed to know that I deserved to be loved by somebody who cared for me. And, you know, Trent wanted and needed somebody who was really open and would, you know, let themselves explore. So it was kind of an interesting dynamic and related to the question. On my end, there was a lot of thought going into it of like, oh, like, I don't want like this person to like hate me. I don't want her to feel like she like quote unquote made me gay, because that's like the fear. Or like, there was lots of jokes up in college with other women. It was like, oh, like, if you date so and so, like, you must be gay. And I was just like, I don't want, like, you know, et cetera. Yeah. So there was a lot of pressure from that end. But ultimately, just kind of conversations with her, like, we were able to come to a place where we both knew the relationship was kind of over. So still really good friends. But from the perspective of being a gay man and then coming out
after. Did you come out like the next day?
It was about a month later.
Okay.
Yeah, so we broke up, you know, we're in different chapters in our lives kind of explanation. And then about a month later, came out and had nothing to do with her.
Right, yeah.
And luckily she understood that. And,
yeah.
You know, when I had that conversation with her, she was really great about it and felt really honored that, you know, I trusted her with that information and everything. So she was really great. But I've heard a lot of stories where, you know, some people aren't so great and it's very damaging to what they thought was a good friendship or...
I was going to say, I think that most people assume, like, when they're looking at it from the outside and two people are dating and then they break up and then shortly after the guy comes out, people are like, oh my God, he bamboozled her and like that poor woman and she had no idea and she was blindsided. And I think that does happen. But I think like, I've also heard stories that are similar to yours where it's more like it was kind of an ongoing conversation and like I was figuring out my sexuality and we were what we needed for each other at the time. Yeah. I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
That you were able to be that open about it with her.
Yeah. And there's a movie on Netflix that I love, and it's really cheesy. I'm a sucker for cheesy stuff, but it's called Alex Strangelove. And it's exactly about this topic.
Sounds so familiar.
Yeah. So it's this high schooler who's gay, but trying to like kind of bottle that down and dates a woman, but then is gay. So then they break up. And anyway, it's this whole like what happens to the girl in the relationship and et cetera. So it's a pretty cool perspective on the story, too.
I dated a guy, I mean, my first date, he was gay, and none of this until he was, you know, in college or we were both out of high school. But I remember not ever taking any of it seriously. Like, we were just having fun. We had a great time. We had a great, like, friendship. And so even when he came out later, and I wasn't really surprised, but it didn't really matter. People would ask me, like, so, I mean, like, you dated him in high school. And I was like, well, yeah, like, but in high school.
You weren't boning. You know, it's like, well, yeah, it's practically a platonic friendship anyways.
Exactly. It's basically just like your best friends. You do everything together. And so now you're labeled as boyfriend, girlfriend.
Yeah.
Anyway. So I didn't really think twice about that relationship at all.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, I was in theater, like drama club in high school. So yeah. Basically every guy that I. Half of them that I hung out with and was really good friends with ended up being gay. And like, I think we talked last time in the dating episode or a couple episodes ago about like going to the Halloween dance and you went with a guy who ended up coming out. And I was like, yeah, I went to the Halloween dance with a guy who ended up coming out. But it was that same situation where I'm like, I didn't really, I kind of knew, but it wasn't explicit and it wasn't really discussed. But I was also like, there's not like a sexual connection here. Mm-hmm. We're just really good friends and we're like going to a dance together.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's because, you know, I did high school in Utah where most people's religious values mean that you're not having sex, right? You're not doing anything like that. Right. Or I mean, even now it's 2018. Most kids in high school they're coming out more. They're, you know, feeling supported. So that's really good. But I feel like in high school, it's just like you're learning how to talk to each other. So it didn't matter, like, what orientation. You're just all figuring out your personalities and
totally
everything. So if you're going out with, you know, someone who's the same orientation as you or not the next date or whatever, I feel like it should be just like this awkward thing that's get pulled off the table so we can all just have a good time at all the different activities. But again, that being said, it's because... I wasn't sexually active at that age.
Yeah, you're very different experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I think it's easy. And like, Trent, you're not from Utah, but I know that you were raised Mormon, right?
Correct.
Yeah. And it's like super easy to mask, I think, like, because it's not, it like, doesn't become an issue because you're like, oh, you can kind of hide behind your Mormon-ness. Yeah. And not like address like your actual sexuality head on because you're like, oh, I'm just not attracted to girls because... God I shouldn't no. be because God says no or whatever, you know?
Yeah. I mean, yes and no. Because like in high school, I was like fooling around with like boys and girls. Like,
oh, interesting.
Yeah. And then like I had girlfriends because that's what I was supposed to have. I have 7 older brothers.
Holy moly.
Yeah. Nice. Like, that's a whole nother thing. So I was like trying to like... you know, carbon copy what they were doing.
Man and
like,
up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I was like, yeah, I have girlfriends. And then like my parents would be gone for a weekend and I'd like some boy from a different choir would be like, hey, you should come over, you know? But then like same thing with like my girlfriends, I'd like sneak over when their parents were gone. And so it was just a matter of, I don't know, like figuring out your identity.
Right. Yeah, I don't think there has to be a one way. I mean, like you're just... doing
and,
you.
And I don't, and I guess I don't mean like sexuality is the whole table at that age, right? Because I certainly did my thing. But I'm just saying that there's a million other things we're trying to figure out in our head that it gets pushed on us, that expectation. Like if you're gay, you should be dating a guy. Or if you're not, then
if you're straight,
date,
man,
you know?
Woman. Yeah.
When I'm just trying to figure out how to talk to somebody.
Yeah, exactly.
At the same time, you know?
Totally.
A lot of different.
There's just like a lot of like, there's a lot of, different things that every single person has to like come out with, right? Or like different parts of your identity.
Right.
And when you start in high school, you have to like start coming into your own, because then when you get to college, you're pretty on your own.
You're kind of expected to walk into college having it all discovered.
Right.
Yeah.
Really. Yeah. And then I'm like leaving college, I'm like, I don't know anything. Yeah. So there's a lot of, and as it relates to that question, it's like, for me, I view it less about like that specific thing, more as like understanding an additional part of your identity. And so like you might be dating someone and you come out, but for like my perspective and my experience, it like had nothing to do with my girlfriend.
Right. From her perspective, I feel like, I mean, in this case, it was like the perfect scenario.
Oh,
like,
totally.
Everyone understood from both sides, but I could definitely see the other side of the relationship being more heartbroken or more sensitive to the whole scenario. So I mean, like, I've never been in those shoes, so I don't know. But I could definitely see that being, like, a hard thing to carry around, as if it had more to do with the other person, but it probably didn't.
It always feels like it's more personal. It's on you, right?
Yeah.
With any kind of breakup.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Any kind of breakup. You know? You're right.
You're just like, it's not you, but it's me.
Yeah.
But is it?
But it is.
I'm pretty sure I've done something, you know? Because I dated a guy who came out, and we dated, and this was after college, we dated for over 2 years. And there were definitely open conversations about, like, you know, the Kinsey scale or, you know, not a lot of them, but certainly enough that in the back of my head, you know, this was a topic of thought of mine as to why, you know, it's not going anywhere after so long. But when we broke up, it was really rough on me, not because, you know, a couple months later he came out finally, but because of those moments while we were dating that he was figuring himself out. He projected a lot of rough stuff on me.
Yikes.
And so, and then that happens in any relationship, right? Mm-hmm. So I, you know, have a hard time like seeing him and getting really excited, because I still have those lingering feelings from bad moments in that relationship. But sometimes it gets like, it comes across like I don't like him because he's now gay.
No.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And I'm like angry that I turned a guy gay, when of course, obviously that didn't happen. And that those thoughts are just in my own head. But it's just because bad moments happen in a relationship, then it's not going to work out eventually.
Right.
Well, and spending 2 years with anyone and then realizing like it's not going to go, you know, in your case, marriage and family and house and things like that, that's just got to be heavy no matter what.
Sure.
And then add, you know, turning someone gay. Right. Like, oh shit. This
which,
is really
you know,
bad.
Which of course is things I think about, but you wonder what everyone else is thinking.
Oh, totally.
Wouldn't that be nice to turn that? I'll turn that off.
I would love that.
Where's that switch?
Yeah.
Can I have that pillow, please?
Not care what people think.
So I think it's really interesting that you, so you said you came, sorry, this is going to get real personal. So feel free to not answer anything.
I am a very open book.
Until Ray asks the right question.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And JK. Like, I've communicated that. I will say, like, always ask if, you know, your queer friends, like, sometimes stories can be really traumatic, and always ask for that permission first. I'm giving you permission to ask anything.
Oh, okay. So, I'm just curious, because I, like, from my experience with knowing men who grew up in the LDS community and then came out, they didn't experiment with guys in high school. They were very, like, they didn't masturbate. They were afraid of their own bodies. They were, like, afraid because of their – they're like, oh, if I do this, like, then, like, my gay thoughts and feelings are going to come out. Like, they had them. They were there. But they didn't dare, like, act on anything.
Right.
You know, and then eventually later came out. But you said that you were experimenting, like, both with men and women in high school. So I'm just curious, like, what the evolution of your sexuality or your discovery of your sexuality was.
You said, where did you grow up?
Okay, yeah, I grew up in Oregon.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to say that might have had an influence on it.
Yeah, so I grew up in, kind of Dallas, which is really conservative, but in middle school we moved over to Salem, which is less conservative and more in the Willamette Valley, like, liberal belt. And so all of my friends weren't Mormon, and all my friends' parents were, like, super liberal. And so for me, like, I never connected with the LDS church, even as a little kid. Like, I remember I was in primary and they're doing a lesson on, like, LDS missionary work. And I raised my hand. I was like, oh, okay, like, what if boys don't want to go on missions? And they're like, well, you do.
No, I'm just kidding.
Right. Well, kind of. Like, that was kind of the reaction internally, I'm sure. And they're like,
said their eyes can
yeah.
And they're like, how do we answer this question?
And they're like, well, you just go. I was like, oh, so it's required. And they're like, well, no, it's not required. I was like, okay, so I don't have to go. And they're like, well, like, heavenly fun. And just like going this like, yeah. I was so confused.
If you want to get into heaven, yeah. You have guts to go.
And I was like, well, who doesn't want to go to heaven? You know, I was just like, so it's required. And they're like, no, it's not required. But I was like, so as like a little kid, my brain was like, I can't be here. Like, this doesn't make sense.
Too confusing. Storm out the door as a 5-year-old.
Yeah, I'm like asking, like correcting their like language. And like in one book, it says genealogy. In the other, it says family history. Ooh. Like, what is the hymn verse? Like,
you know? What is this cult?
Yeah. So I never really like felt like I belonged there. Like, I didn't get along with, like, any of the other boys and, like, deacons or, like, teachers.
And, like,
or,
priesthood.
Yeah,
stuff.
Like, that stuff.
Alex was trying to explain that to me the other day, and I was like, what?
Yeah, it's weird. I went through it, and I'm just like,
names of the groups.
It's just, like, age groups. You, yeah, age.
I was like,
just, like, turn a year different, and then you become something else.
Well, it's like in Scouts, you have, like, your Weeblos and Cub Scouts, and it's just different levels.
Yeah, so all that to say is, like, I never really connected with it, like, all through high school, all my friends. And so, for me, like, I, in elementary school, I remember, like, me and all my girlfriends were, like, at the recess, like, uneven bars. Like,
ooh, doing, I love those.
Yeah,
the
like, doing little cherry bombs, like, whatever it might be. And we'd just, like, talk about how cute boys are. We'd be like, oh, my gosh, Travis looks so cute today. And they'd be like, oh, my gosh, yes. And it just wasn't a thing. And then, like, in middle school, like, again, like, all my girlfriends and I, like, we just kind of like, oh, yeah, like, they look cute today, blah, 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 blah. And then as, like, puberty set in, I was like, oh, like, boys aren't just cute. Like, yeah.
Y'all.
But then I was also kind of like, oh, but, like, I'm supposed to be doing that. So, okay, like, all my best friends are girls, so, like, we'll just date. And so then
occasionally touch a boob.
Yeah. And so, like, in high school, like I was saying, like, we just kind of, like, would explore and we'd play, like, weird, like stripping games. So, like, we felt more comfortable like, naked makeouts and stuff like that. And then at the same time, it's like, I'm sitting there at like a choir competition. How nerdy is this? I'm sitting at a choir competition in the audience watching like another choir perform. And I remember like locking eyes with this guy doing a solo and I was like, he's so cute. You know?
He's looking into my soul.
So then I like went up after and I was like, hey, like you did a great job, like da 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 da. And he was like, oh yeah, thanks. Like I loved you. And
you did like a hair flip?
Nah, yeah, like a little hair. Yeah, that was like had the swoopy bob before Zac Efron. And so we like exchanged numbers and then so it was just like pretty organic for me. I don't know. Like, I feel lucky in that way. But at the same time, I had a lot of pressure from my family being so conservative, like 10 kids, mostly boys.
Yeah, I love it. I love hearing people's like coming out stories and people's leaving religion stories. And yeah, and it's I love it, especially when I hear stories about, you know, parents who are like, well, I had this perception, but I love my child. And so now I have to like really try hard to understand and like look at things in a different way. And I think that's really cool.
When it's reimagining the life you thought for your kid, right? Like I've known since like I mentioned, like from pretty young age, and I've had a long time to like process it and like decide the right time. But for my mom, it's only been 3 years. So I have to be a little patient with like the adjustment of what my life looks like for her.
So you really don't think that she like sort of like knew or like had some suspicions?
Girl, I don't know how she did. I was writing Britney Spears letters in fifth grade. Yes. Like, there's so many things.
But
that
you were doing it because you were sexually attracted to her.
No, I was like,
that's what she no, did. That's like from her perspective.
I'm like my frosted tip. Like me.
I just
like,
want to be your personal assistant.
Did it again?
Like, he's doing the choreography. Right. Yeah.
Like one Halloween, my mom was like, "What do you want to be?" I was like, "I want to wear your necklace." So she's like, no. Okay, like, I'll make you a king. That's what this tattoo is based off of, is me as a little king because of my mom.
That's awesome.
And for me, like, now that's like a really big, like, oh, that's was really that's special. Sweet. And yeah. I don't think she realized, but maybe she did.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there was just so many things. And even this year, I went to a friend's party out in LA, and the theme was Met Gala Disney Couture.
Yeah, so, I want to see those photos.
Oh, I've got some. But so me, like, I don't, because of my mom, like growing up, they owned a melodrama. So like stage, like dinner and a show, like
oh, cool.
Who Shot the Sheriff, like those type of shows. Like my parents owned one.
Yeah.
Oh, good night.
Yeah.
And they only had one gig.
One gig.
Yeah, I saw where that was going.
Statistically, like, for every three sons, it like, I was like, Mom, I'm like 500% gay. Like,
or like, somebody's hiding.
Or some of like my nibblings, I'm like, I don't know which of you, but but with the melodrama, we had like this huge costume room.
Mm-hmm. Like, oh, sounds magical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was like, I was there like every week and like dressing up. So I know there's just so many signs where it's like,
Mom, and you're not looking.
I don't know.
So either she was being like purposely like la 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 oblivious, or she like knew and was just like, I'm gonna pretend I don't know this until just later when he figures it out and comes out.
But also to my mom's credit, she's like very much she's a super dynamic person, like raising 10 kids, like she much like wanted everyone to be able to be their own person. That's cool. And so she didn't like place a lot of meaning to the things we did. Like, she just kind of let us be. And she does the same thing for her grandkids, too. That's cool. So, I, you know, like, my nephew was, my mom still has dress-up rooms. And so, he, like, put on this huge, like, Afro wig and, like, this little, like dress thingy and, like, came upstairs. And his dad, kind of homophobic, was, like, you know, super shocked face.
Oh, God.
And my mom, like, grabs him and, like, starts, like, dancing. I was like, this is me and your grandpa used to dance in the 70s and, you know, just like
it's that's hard to get mad when all the men dress that way in the
70s. That's true. Right.
So she's just like been very dynamic with like how she lets like people express themselves.
Yeah.
Like owning the melodrama theater too is just like, like you come, you dress up, like you're flamboyant, like you just express. You are whoever you want to be.
Yeah. In college, I went to school for theater, so even not dating the gay men in a theater department in college, because they're old enough to do their own thing at that point, but I still ended up going on a lot of dates with gay men outside of the theater department. Like one day halfway through the conversation, I'm like, okay, so
you're gay.
Why did you ask me out? You know,
Sly's really mad about it.
Yeah, he is pissed.
He was like, what?
And so I was like, okay, stop this. If we're not going to end the night with like a happy ending for me, stop bothering to ask me out on a date. Like, let's go on a friend lunch, but don't make it like an official wink and a date.
Right.
Yeah.
But like,
good grief.
But was it because they were of that social expectation of like, oh, I'm in like Southern Utah and it's conservative and like I can't be gay, so I have to like pretend like I'm going out with women.
Yeah, were
honestly,
you part of the
it
like
it just felt shrug? Like halfway through the date I realized that like I was a comfortable person for them, like a safe person for them to go on a date with, and then they could tell me like they were gay and I was like, cool. What are we doing?
Yeah.
Like, can I guess, just get lunch like normal humans?
Just get a, you know.
Yeah.
And so it was good because I guess I'm a personality in which you feel comfortable talking to.
Yeah.
But then as a person who is also actively trying to date, for it to go somewhere, I was like, cool.
Great.
I mean, a girl can only have so many friends.
Yeah. You're like, listen, I don't need more gay friends. I need like a dude to bone.
I'm capped out.
Anita has been.
Yeah, and I know what it, I know the difference between making out with a gay man who's just making out with me and someone who's really sexually interested in
I love that you know that difference. I don't know if I know that difference.
I was just going to say, like, I had a lot of gay friends in high school that, again, like, not out at the time, but I think we all just sort of knew. But I never dated anyone who was gay other than just like a friend's date. Yeah. And we sort of knew that it was that, and there was no expectation of it going like anywhere.
In high school, I dated a lesbian. Yeah. And we both are still friends now.
Yeah. I was like, have I?
How did that work? Was
neither of you cared?
It was like the
hands.
Perfect yeah. relationship.
We're just having a good time.
Yeah. No, it wasn't a perfect, like, she's great. She was in Portland, like, doing the whole like roller derby lesbian
cool.
thing. Love yes. it.
That's the best kind of lesbian.
But yeah, we were both in like theater and choir.
Yeah.
And we're like, yeah, like we're both really cool. Something's similar.
Just can't quite put my finger
so
on it.
We dated
have a,
for,
we have
like,
a lot in common.
Yeah. There's something about us. Yeah, so we like dated for like 2 weeks. Mm. And then she broke up with me in the band room.
That
yeah,
bitch.
I know. I was room. Like, in the band room, we're not in band.
And why? Then, like, she didn't want to ruin the toxic space.
Yeah, yeah,
or
exactly.
like make the theater space toxic.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's choir. Thoughtful. She's like, yeah, the band people can have it. And then like a week later, she like pulls me aside in the library and like was like, I made a mistake. Da, 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 da. I was like, I'm done.
You're like, girl, you're
I was
a
like,
lesbian.
I've moved on. Anyway, and then both of us came out after and you know, right. have reconnected. And yeah, she's right. really fun. So I've dated someone who turned gay.
And it didn't yeah. make you feel like you turned her
you
gay
turn
at all?
Her into
no.
a lesbian?
No. No.
That's the power of gay.
Yeah. We're both like, yes.
Okay, second question is, why do women allow themselves to be beards for gay men?
Explain.
So a beard is...
It's like how nobody would guess that
yeah,
the guy I dated for 2 years was gay because
right.
oh, yeah,
I was dating
shitty.
Him and we had been dating yeah. for a long time. So obviously something
not
is
gay.
Going well.
Yeah, it's the person, it's a woman that you date to mask your true gayness.
Like a cloak.
Right. Yeah. So the term is like pretty like problematic. So it's like saying like gay men are feminine and can't grow beards.
Oh.
So like they need like a woman to like.
Man,
help,
them
like,
be their
man.
Beards.
Like, okay, so is that term like really offensive?
No, I mean like I use it.
Or is it?
I mean,
fuck it.
But Trent that's also fine. Has just, a very manly beard.
He does.
If
you.
There's another term out there that people want us to use,
no, yeah,
let us know.
Yeah.
I guess like my problem with this question is that I don't think that it's the word allow.
Yeah.
I think for women who are oh, in yeah. like really long term like relationships with men who are not out of the closet or later they come out of the closet, it wasn't like the woman was like, oh, I know he's gay and I'm just like totally fine with
along
just
for the ride.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. yeah. I mean, I for me, for the, you know, over 2 years, I get that all the time. Like, why'd you bother doing that if you knew a little bit? And I was well, first of all, sexuality is like a wide spectrum. And if mm-hmm. it's working, it's working.
Preach.
And for somebody who doesn't have sex before their marriage, guess who doesn't understand that that's broken if you don't have it?
Yeah.
You know, granted, once it was over, I was like, okay, yes, you're right. Like, I've made out with somebody who wants to see me naked versus I never had that, like, with him, right?
Right.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
But.
That intense chemistry.
Like, you know, the whole time, most of the time that we were together, we, you know, were actively doing things and we had a great time together that we spent together. We did a lot of projects together. We started a business together. We worked well together. So between those rough spots that every relationship has, things were going really well. So I don't feel like
it wasn't.
Why did you bother being in an awful spot?
Right. Like you weren't this browbeaten woman who was just like, I'm just dating a gay guy because I can't do any better.
Yeah. Or I can't find anyone else.
Yeah.
Or,
fuck.
And I wasn't trying to fix his homosexuality while we were dating. You know, like that wasn't on the table. It was part of our relationship, period.
If that's happening out there, ladies or men,
don't try to fix
and if you are in a relationship, whether you're dating a lesbian or you're dating someone who's gay, right? And you're just staying in that relationship because you don't think that there's something better out there that will match you, get out.
Yeah, yeah, that's not.
Get out. Yeah. You know?
There's also, I mean, I think there's also a possibility that you could just be in a really good, committed relationship. Like you were saying about your ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
She was a really great partner. You guys had a lot in common. You were what each other needed to be at the time. And then she'd even brought up, maybe let's just be in an open relationship.
Yeah.
That's a possibility too. Like maybe you could, you can be a committed partner to somebody and without that sexual element and get that elsewhere. Yeah. So I think that like that whole women allowing themselves to be beards is like putting women in this like faux victim status that does, it's like, no.
Well, and there's also that sense of like, you're supposed to be with like your best friend and like, you're supposed to be with someone who makes you laugh. And like growing up, like all of my best friends were like girls and like women and, you know, so as I like in high school and stuff, and as I had girlfriends and, you know, dating girls, that's kind of where it came into play. And so then like people were like, oh, like Kaney was just transpired. I was just like, the fuck are you? Like, you're dating this person and you're going to break up. Like, your reasons are different than mine. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's a good point.
It's discounting. It's discounting their friendship and the relationship that is built between two people, even if it doesn't work out in the end.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was these moments in college where I was like, well, maybe I will just marry a gay man because my parents don't have sex. So, like, why do I need to have sex? You know what I mean? Like, I'll just skip that middle part and have, like, a really good functioning best friendship that was awesome. And
yeah.
But there is good sex out there.
Yeah.
Hold on to it.
But then
when you get it.
But then, I mean, later did you find out that your parents do still have sex and did it freak you out?
Well, I mean, women and men, like, you know, get like this re-sex drive as they get older, like it flows, right? And so in their 50s or 60s, all of a sudden it's
like, your 30s was like,
I have great sex in my 30s now.
I am way more horny now than I ever was in all of my life.
Airplane.
I'm just like afraid it's gonna end. I'm like, oh god, just, like, all downhill from here.
No.
Poor Al.
I gotta get it while I still
especially once menopause is over, it comes back again.
Does it? I feel like then it's like a desert.
Same, like my parents are, it's like visually, like I can see that they had sex. There's 10 of us. So I'm like, they've had sex at least 10 times.
Right. I'm the oldest of 7.
So. Yeah.
Like, and then I'm pretty sure they've only done it 7 times.
Kind of that's what I'm saying. Like, I always was like, my parents have had sex exactly 4 times because there are 4 children and that's it.
But my mom said again. To me once too, like when I was thinking, maybe I'll just, you know, marry this one because doesn't really matter. You know, she's like, yep, sex is not as important as you think. You know, your father and I are very happy and we don't do it. And I'm like,
maybe there's a lot of masturbation.
It was like horrifying that like she was saying not yes.
No? I mean, oh, right.
Maybe.
We're pretty happy.
I mean, yeah. I mean, like, I guess that is true. It does depend on the person. I think it's like, it's really important to some people. And if it's really important to one person in a relationship and not to the other one, like, that's where you have a mismatch. Yeah, right. But if it's not important to both people,
it's then, probably like, because you're not having good sex.
No, I mean, you could also be, like, asexual. Yeah,
it's totally.
Some people literally are just like, I don't care. It's not, I'm not into it.
Which is why it's important that it's the same on either.
Right, like, both needs are communicated and agreed upon.
Okay, the last question is, why do so many movies and TV shows make jokes about women experimenting in college, meaning lesbian sex? Yes, we know. Thanks for the clarification. And why don't you ever hear about men doing the same? I was thinking about this, and I think that for a long time, when you think about, like, late 90s, like, early 2000s, like, sex comedies, a lot of those jokes about, like, oh, women experimenting in college, they were for the benefit of the straight guy, right?
Yeah,
it was like, God, this
the idea she's so is hot. To turn on the straight men.
Exactly. So that's why you heard more about it, because, like, they were, quote, like, grossed out by gay sex and, like, didn't want to hear about it. So, like, a guy saying, like, oh, I experimented in college, like, that joke would be played differently as, like, a gross out joke, right? If you think about it, like, in the context of, like, pop culture, how movies referenced it.
Exactly. When it's really tied into, like, the way media in general sexualizes women, like, definitely, like, through the lens, like, the male gaze, right?
Yes. So
everything is, like you said, for, like, straight white men.
Yeah. I mean, I kissed one girl in college, and it was a peck on the lips, and I made $100.
Oh my God.
At a party.
What?
And half of me was real pissed that everyone wouldn't shut up about it, and the other half was really happy that I made $100 for kissing my best friend on the lips. It's the dumbest thing in the entire world.
I don't know. I think that women are, like, as far as the wanting to experiment, I think women are more flexible in their sexuality and more open to expressing that with other women. I think, like, I don't know, there's just so much, like, homophobia entrenched in society that, like, a guy, even two straight guys, like, kissing each other, like, on the cheeks as friends in our society and culture is like, what? No, like, I'm not gay. Right. Like, you know?
Yeah. Well, and it's, like, that's, like, for me, I think about, like, how it's wrapped up in, like, the stigma around masculinity as, like, this, like, concrete binary of you are a man or you are not, rather than being, like, this really vibrant spectrum. Mm-hmm. And then also, like, the expectations, too, of, like, if I kiss a guy, maybe I'll like it a little bit and I'm not 100% straight and like, oh shit, like then that means I'm going to get the shit beat out of me. Like I just beat the shit out of that gay guy or, you know, whatever it might be. So
I won't get my prostate checked in case I have this feeling.
Yeah. Like pee spots. Yeah.
So ridiculous.
Pee spot stimulation. So yes. Like if every man had that, like there would be no war. Zero war.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, so I was actually watching on HBO Insecure. And there's
good things.
And there was an episode that kind of talked a little bit about this where the main character, like super woke, like really like open, and she was dating this guy, and he was like, oh yeah, like in college I experimented with a guy a little bit, and she was like, what? And she in college had experimented with women, and she just like could not like let it go.
Right.
She's like, every time I see him, I'm just like, he's gay. Like, when is he going to come out?
Oh,
like,
right.
Right. And so it was kind of like this double edge where it was like, okay, but like you, like, you know, experimented with women and you've like gone through that, like, same, like thought process or similar where you're like, oh,
disassociation,
like
it was not make me gay,
yeah, or like right. This wasn't really my thing,
yeah, and right, so, I like, tried it, wasn't my thing, cool, right, whatever,
but then he did the exact same thing, yeah. But then she was just like, no, like, you don't he's have that gay.
Freedom,
yeah.
Right.
Just thinking about bisexuality, if a woman's like, I'm bisexual, everyone's like, oh yeah, you know, where totally. If a guy's like, I'm bisexual, people are kind of like, what does that mean? How gay are you really?
Right.
Are you just pretending right, that you, like, kind of are interested in women?
Road, like Sex of the City, like this is just a road trip to gay.
Yeah.
Right. It's like the first step, right?
Right. And it's like, no, there are like legitimately guys can be bisexual too.
Right.
Yeah. And so it's just interesting. Like I think that's why it sometimes can even freak women out too, because some women might be like, oh, he's saying he's bi because he doesn't want to hurt my feelings, but like secretly he's just gay. And and it's just like, yeah, like you said, it's the step. It's like little baby steps out of the closet. It
rationalizes my whole relationship with you.
Yeah. You're
little bit.
I think that, I mean, that perception is like changing though, which is cool.
Yeah.
So it's funny. Anytime like we're watching a movie or TV show or something and there's a lesbian scene, Ian always like does this thing where, because he knows it drives me crazy, where he does like a douche bro nod where he's like, yeah, and I'm just like oh, I'm always like, this isn't for you, look away. Like, you don't get to enjoy this lesbian sex scene, you straight white man.
Yeah.
Turn your male gaze. But and he's like, and obviously he's not a creep, he just does it because it's like he knows that it annoys me, but it's also just like really funny because he's like, douche nod, and I'm like, no. But that's how guys are when they hear about like women experimenting, they're like, that's fucking hot. But then when they hear about guys, they're like, that's gay.
Right. Like, well, I remember when I was up at college in Utah State, there was like this whole like underground secret gay scene of like men who were like all like super, super closeted. Some who like myself have come out after, and some who are married to women now, but it was like this Yeah, it was like this like underground thing where like certain phrases meant different things. Yeah, and like
really intense winking.
Yeah, or like wasn't Facebook there, like, messages or.
Wasn't there a phase of different colored bandanas?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like that was like way back in the day. Yeah. So different bandanas.
Oh, and meant like whether you were top or bottom or bear or things that I don't understand.
Yeah, they still do this in high school parties with bracelets. So you have to go in wearing a certain color. You're game to do X, Y, and Z.
What are the colors I need to wear that?
I have no idea because I'm like, what?
Yeah.
That's different from my high school parties.
I didn't, I was not aware of this color system.
Yeah.
I think the color system happened after my high school. I was probably like,
I feel like in the last 10 years. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's called hanky code.
Hanky code?
Yeah. So, and it gets really, like, really, really kinky. So there's some stuff that I'm like,
don't accidentally wear lime green to a party.
Yeah. Do you, can we find this code? Is it secret?
Yeah, like if you Google it, like,
is it on the gay internet?
Yeah, the gay internet. No,
it's the rainbow internet?
Yeah. And, like, to be honest, in like Salt Lake, like, nobody would know.
Yeah.
And it's more of like queer history at this point. It was like during like the time of like cruising and stuff before like Grindr, which was before Tinder.
Yeah. way back when.
Yeah. And so like when you had to, or like there was things like back in the day when you'd be like cruising in like a park and you would like walk past each other and then you'd like wait 3 seconds and then look at each other. And then that's kind of like how you knew. So there's lots of things like, signals. And similarly, like up at Utah State, like when I was up there, there was like different things and like different parties you would go to meet people. But I remember in particular one time, this guy like found out like somebody, this other guy had like been like kind of, you know, messing around with a guy. And he like, burst back into this party. It was like, oh my God, like blah blah blah, it's gay. And I was like, I think he's actually just like experimenting. And I felt so badly for him because he was like inappropriately outed but also inaccurately outed.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, that's like that's so unfair. Douche. Yeah. But and he just like made this assumption like, oh, like this person kissed a guy or like
now
whatever,
you're gay forever,
right? Yeah. And like to like exclaim that at a party, I was just like
shitty. Oh,
that's way shitty,
right? Yeah.
Everyone's worst nightmare.
Yeah. Ugh, totally.
God, yeah. Do you guys remember back in, I was like probably when I was in elementary school, there was that whole thing, it was like, if you have an earring on your left ear,
yeah.
But if it's on your right ear, then you're straight.
Yeah, absolutely.
I always forgot which one it was.
Yeah. I did too. I was like, which
is he gay?
Which
I don't know. Yeah. Fuck, I can't tell.
Yeah, the internet. I need to go home and dial up.
My friend just posted on a Insta story, and he was like, "Which ear was gay again? I'm getting my ear pierced. And I need to know." He's gay, so he's like, "I want to make sure I get it right."
I don't think anyone remembers.
And I was like, that right? Amazing. Is it the left ear?
I feel like I don't remember. I feel like it was left. I don't know.
It's so stupid though.
That's hilarious though.
I know. Like, if I were to ever do it,
I need to make sure that I pierce the gay ear.
Yeah. The gay.
I need people to know.
This is my gay ear. I remember my brother coming home with both of his ears pierced and being like, "Well, it's a good thing that you didn't just do one, because then we wouldn't know." Yeah. Now we know you're just a douche.
Like big, like fake diamonds.
Oh, I love him.
He's a good guy. But he does look like a giant bro who's really just a little puppy dog.
I mean, I guess like to wrap that question up, I think it's because like historically lesbian scenes and like women being more open with their sexuality has been to benefit straight men for the male gaze. Mm-hmm. And then because of like the entrenched homophobia in our society, like it wasn't as acceptable to have to like show that in movies and TV, but also like talk about it.
Yeah, I would love to get to a place where people can just like try this out, like try that out, like whatever, just like really like have the opportunity.
I feel like that's what like the schools these days are like leaning towards. We'd had a
Yeah. Like I watch a lot of shows that are, I mean, I just finished watching Sex Education on Netflix and there's,
it just started.
Oh my God, I love it so much.
Is it good? I thought it looked stupid.
No, it's really good.
Oh, okay.
It's damn really,
it, there's too
really,
much
really
shit
good.
To listen to and watch these and days.
Plus Gillian Anderson.
Oh my God.
She's
yeah.
in that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's the mom. Yeah. She doesn't really look like herself.
Yeah.
Nope.
If you haven't seen her recently, she's got blonde hair.
so fucking hot.
Yeah,
and she's like an older woman.
Yeah, she's like, yeah, she's she a got hot her older tits lady. Done.
They look amazing.
Yeah, she's a sex therapist on the show. Yeah, so.
I love it, and it has very different portrayals of sexuality, and I'm like, yes,
and like body images.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Yeah,
it's awesome. So yeah. Different these days than when we were in high. Back when we were in high school.
Back in my day. Never talk about any of this.
No, well, none of it really. Well, in our world, it didn't exist.
Yeah, I mean,
from our perspective, it didn't exist.
Like, when the language around it, right?
Well, yeah.
Like, if you maybe were feeling that way, it was like, I don't know what this means. Like, I don't know what that looks like. But now there's a lot more vocabulary around it to be like, oh yeah, like pansexual, like
right.
That does feel right for me.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Even if you did know a guy who you thought was gay, well, like in my situation, if I knew a guy who I thought was gay, it didn't mean that they were sexual in any way. They were just like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't think about like, oh, gay means like you're having sex with other men. Gay was just like, you're not interested in me. And like, we can like watch musicals and hang out and like have fun together. Like, I'm like, what if it's sexual? Like, it was desexualized in a weird way. Like, you know, you would watch movies and it was like, oh, like I'm thinking of like My Best Friend's Wedding, right? Like,
right.
The gay best friend. And or there was, like movies had like the gay best friend, but it was just like, you know, your the guy BFF. Pal who's your BFF, you know?
Right.
And it's like, and that works out because he's gay. So like, there's no chance of like a
it's
romantic
not messy
relationship.
And I don't have and to figure it out in my head.
To just always be there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Trent's just like rolling his eyes.
Sorry.
That's my life. Just to always be there for your straight girlfriends.
Yep.
We've come a long way.
So it's time now for our mansplaining moment. Trent, we're going to have you read the second one that you sent in because I want you to read it in your amazing voice.
Yes, I do that. Okay, so I'm just gonna read it, so this is not just memory, just so everyone knows. Okay. Prior to my current role, I worked in marketing for about 6 years. I had ample moments being mansplained, and admittedly, I'm sure I probably mansplained a little bit. I'm a work in progress and trying to unlearn the patriarchness. Right before moving to my new company with Ray, a sales leader at my previous company called my entire functional team into a meeting. There's a group about 10 of us, 9 were women, and I was the only man in the room besides him. And we are all content strategists for our respective brands. This sales bro leader opened the meeting with a slideshow on the TV and was asking us to explain what our jobs were. Like the actual functionality of what we are doing.
Mm-hmm.
A few of us start to explain our roles and responsibility, and he clicks next on the slideshow, and it's very incorrectly explaining what our jobs were.
Back to you?
Right, after we explained. And so rather than correcting himself, he proceeds to correct us and mansplain what our jobs were. Our non-sales, non-marketing sales leader explaining our marketing jobs to us. And so that whole interaction, I was just sitting there and my mind was blown because I was like, wow, like out of all things, like he is the most professional mansplainer I've ever witnessed. Like, right?
Actually,
like,
per these job descriptions I found in a file folder on my computer from the 80s. This is actually your job.
Yeah, we were just like sitting there in the conference room. Again, just like all of us were just quiet at the end of the meeting. We were like,
why did you even ask us if you were just going to fucking tell
us? That's so weird. Like, why
I was like, did you
that?
Want us to like align with your idea of our job? Or like, I'm going to go back and do my job.
You like just write it all down and be like, oh, I don't do any of that anymore because... Hi. Sorry.
I guess we should have maybe mentioned there is a baby there. Here.
Yeah.
So loud today.
He disagrees with the man's plan.
I really like it.
Or maybe he's going, like, well, actually.
Kid, let your mother speak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that feels like a next level of mansplaining where he's like, tell me about your job. Now I'm going to tell you about your job, what it really is after you've just told me. That's
like prepare a slideshow.
Was he wanting to change your positions? Because I guess that would make sense. If he was like, JK, though. Here's what you're really
going. But he
really
wasn't your boss.
He was none of our bosses.
Yeah.
What he was fuck? In it. Like, we were all in marketing. He was in sales.
Which, like, those two positions work together. Yeah, but he's we not work your together. Boss.
Yeah,
like he doesn't. Yeah, that's fucking stupid.
Yeah, he also told, because he knows my sister's husband. He also told him that he manages me. Like, he was like my boss's boss. I was just like, what kind of power struggle are you on? Like, you. I was like,
I've some things going on at home.
Like, yeah. Poor guy. Just buy a big truck.
Mine. It's all easier with a big truck.
Don't involve me in your overcompensation problem. Okay.
Yeah. I love that the more and more we talk about these mansplaining moments, they're just like humans being dicks.
Well, that's why, like, I like the term just splaining, because I think that it's possible for, like, I've probably splained. Mm-hmm. And then, like, last time on the last episode when we read the first one you sent in, we were like, oh, he just got, like, straight splained.
Yeah. I was like, my little brother. Oh, my God.
So, moral of the story, everyone, don't be a dick.
Yeah.
Don't be a dick.
And if you ask someone a question, just listen. Yeah. Don't click next on the slideshow.
Put the clicker down.
Yeah.
I feel like back away from PowerPoint. That needs to be somehow like crocheted or
Don't get me started.
Yes.
Don't get me started.
Don't click next on the slideshow.
I'm already on Etsy right now. Getting it done.
All right. Well, thanks everyone for joining us. And thank you, Trent, for being here. It was such a good conversation.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Thank you so much for having me.
It was so fun.
It was super fun.
Check out his podcast. And if you have any more questions for us, then you know where to find us, because you're all smart people.
And check out M for M podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mask for mask.
Yes.
At M for M podcast on Twitter, though, right?
Yep. And Instagram, M4MPodcast.com.
Nice. All right. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.